everybody. Was so.
Hey, Dr. Nick.
We're here for episode 127. And I.
Are you, she still talking?
She's talking, but there's no audio coming out anymore. She disappeared. So it is, yeah, you're still talking, but it's episode 127. Aaron might be here with us. I'm Iggy, Tyler, Adam, all here. No, we can't hear you.
I'm pretty sure you muted yourself or something because.
No, nothing.
No, we can see your lips moving, but.
Maybe unplugged or.
You unplug yourself or.
This is how it works when we come back from a hiatus. So we're keeping this in.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
I pushed the button with my elbow.
See. There you go. Welcome back. It's our first episode back after a long, long vacation. And as you can tell, it might need some adjusting.
But I got to introduce us after 127 episodes.
Don't act like we were like way on top of this stuff before the hiatus.
Whatever. We can make it seem that way, at least for the new listeners that have been seeing us at all the lovely conventions we've been to, which we'll definitely cover this time. Not to mention the one we didn't go to. San Diego, which is huge. I mean, we did have some people out there, but none of us went there. As well as we have plenty to catch up on ourselves. So it's going to be a lot of personal time on this podcast. Episode 127 is going to be all about bringing it back in. The brotherhood plus sisterhood, I guess. I don't know where that's
going. I think you're going to need a better.
Can it be there you go. I like familyhood. It's special.
Anyways. we're definitely special. That's true.
So how's everybody been enjoying the summer so far?
It's too fucking hot outside.
Okay. Dude, it is a little ridiculous. My Pokemon hunting has been severely hurting the past like week and a half or so when the temperatures have all gone over 100 every day. Like, can't go out. I can't spend time outside. I am super pale. Like, it's not okay.
It's not just hot. It's like humid and oppressive and god-awful.
I bought a hammock just this past week, which, by the way, just in time for National Hammock Day. Double, by the way, Adam, how have you not convinced me to have a hammock before this? Because the most amazing decision I've ever made.
What kind of convincing do you need? It's a hammock, dude. Exactly. It's like saying, Adam, how come you haven't told me to eat Oreos before today? I'm like, no.
Anyways, I don't
just eat Oreos.
It's tonight, before I ate dinner on my back patio in the lovely 80 degrees, I laid in my hammock for a while. So wonderful, wonderful temperatures. If you guys want to hunt Pokemon, you can always come out here to Colorado. It's beautiful.
Nobody likes you. Just so you know.
I mean, I'm okay with that. I have a hammock.
Seriously, but like on it's no joke. Like on Saturday, the heat index was 117 here. You can't spend time outside when it's 117.
To be fair, last time we came out to Denver, despite promises of mild, gorgeous Colorado weather, it was like 100 degrees every day we were
there. Yeah, that was.
Okay, but it wasn't like 100% humidity.
It wasn't not humid. It rained every day, too. It was pretty miserable in Denver.
It was a pretty rough week. That was probably Denver's seen in a couple of years just in time for you guys to come. So I blame
you guys brought it.
You bringing the humidity to Denver. But that's the way it is. And honestly, when we were out in Omaha that weekend, it wasn't that bad out there. So it was kind of nice.
It wasn't nice. But
it was nice.
Compared to typical Midwest summer.
Oh, at night when we went out at like 2 in the morning, it was pretty nice out. But
like 75 degrees, there's a little breeze. It was amazing.
So since we've had a few episodes come in. You guys, Adam and Tyler, held down the fort through the beginning of June. And then we did our panel episode from Omaha just a couple weeks ago. But for the most part, we haven't really gotten together like this since before Planet Comic Con. So we've had Planet Comic Con, Denver Comic Con, and O Comic Con, three of our main ones that we set up and our first three shows to really feature Project Nerd Publishing. So it has been a busy time. Some new comics in the work, which I'm super excited about because I'm writing like a storm. It's fantastic. So about three new series coming for me, and it's not stopping. I'm already putting together my fourth series. So it's.
Are you going to be the Stephen King of comic books?
I'm feeling a little bit like it. The problem is that Stephen King's level is like way up here. My stuff, I mean, please support me. That's all I can say. I mean, I'm hearing good feedback. We'll see how it goes. Of course, I like it because it came from my mind, but we're pumping some stuff out, including a couple titles not from me. which will be exciting to announce in the near future. I mean, I guess we can already talk about Paul Bedford's The List, which had an amazing Kickstarter out of New Zealand. Fantastic. No, he's out of Australia. Excuse me. The other dropped a hint for our other project coming out of New Zealand, but he's out of Australia, I believe, Paul Bedford. So pretty fantastic book, The List. Dark, gritty, black and white, kind of supernatural elements, really horrific. And actually most people say it's the most twisted thing they've read in years. So that'll fit nicely in our wide range of content as we try to just have such a variety of stuff. So it'll join a good slate on Project Nerd Publishing. But Comic-Con, Planet Comic-Con, Denver Comic-Con, any highlights from the shows that y'all have?
That's a tough one. I mean, most recently at Comic-Con, I got to interview some cool people. I got to sit down and talk with Grace Ellis. Actually got to do that twice because the batteries died on our recording device. Very professionally, by the way. And so amazing conversation. I really enjoyed talking with Grace for a while, and getting to do it twice made it all the better.
It was a good interview. It's already live on Project Nerd as well. I believe you did a couple more too that I think have already gone live as well. So
yeah, I interviewed, I'm losing names.
Purcell. You interviewed Jack Purcell.
Oh, Jack Purcell. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Who will possibly be doing a cover soon for Project Nerd Publishing, but what best known for Batman. And then, and then he went over with our bud, Nate Davis, and did their own indie project, Malice and Mistletoe, which we last Christmas. So that was a fun one that we reviewed thanks to the writer, Nate Davis, being a pretty good friend of the Project Nerd team. And then, you didn't do them, but we did have Ann and Aaron, not this Aaron, other Aaron. What we decided it was Aaron B and Aaron.
A-A-R-O-N, yeah.
Yeah, but Aaron B is what they talked to James Gunn, Veronica Taylor, a few other people as well. So most of those are out already, I believe. I don't know. We're pumping out a lot of interviews, some solid, solid interviews. Did you guys listen to the last podcast episode? Had just three awesome interviews from Jesse. Jesse Nguyen, formerly of our Optimistic Gamers podcast, still contributes some for our gaming content. But dude, I love listening to his interviews because he gets so excited and they go like 20 to 30 minutes. And the guy is just like, he gets to the point where he's just chatting with somebody. And then the more they share, like the more he starts fanboying, and it ends up being wonderful. So if you haven't checked it out, check out episode 126 and you get three doses of that. But anyways, so interviewing Grace Ellis. Yeah, she's always cool to talk to. Jack Purcell. Tyler, Aaron, any highlights from the shows?
Rookie mistake. Talking while muted.
Well, then I guess I'll go ahead and jump in here.
I thought I clicked the button, but I apparently did not click the button.
That's okay. I'll just go ahead and jump in. Because mine is really boring. I sit at a booth and pretty much hawk my own pictures. So that's pretty much boring compared to what you guys do, but it's great because I get
as opposed to sit at a picture and hawk our own comics.
Yeah, but every chance I get, like especially when I'm next to the Project Nerd booth, it's really cool because I get to like work my way in there and just sell comics instead of pictures of me, which is weird. But when I am selling pictures of me, it's really fun to like, you know, talk to the people. I especially like talking to photographers who are trying to make it in the cosplay world. And I like talking to the cosplayers who are trying to make it in the cosplay world. And I give them all sorts of advice on, you know, how they won't make any money and how it's just all about having fun. So yeah, that's one of my favorite things to do.
Solid and honest advice there. All right, Tyler.
Well, we have a good time.
Tyler, without the mute this time.
I suppose. No, it was a lot of fun. We've been to so many of them in the last month or so. I'm trying to, most recently was Comic-Con though. And obviously only in its second year and it's a great show. It was a lot of fun. I got to moderate a couple cool Q&As and panels. Jeffrey Combs of like Star Trek and Reanimator fame. He was super cool dude. Mark Dodson, the voice of Salacious Crumb and the Gremlins among other things. But, no, we had a really good time. Comic-Con's always a fun trip. Denver Comic-Con was crazy. What else have we? I feel like it's been a long time since all four of us have been on the podcast here. I'm trying to remember when the last time we did that. I'm trying to fill in the gaps.
At Comic Con, but the last time we've actually sat down and done this, it was the week before Planet Comic Con. So,
wow, we've done a lot since then.
Yeah. No, we've launched. That's what I said. We've done three conventions, launched new comics. All kinds of stuff. Adam went to some awesome concerts. I went to an awesome concert.
Dude, I also went to an awesome concert.
Yeah, that's right. We all went to awesome concerts. I bought a hammock, if I failed to mention that yet. I ate my s'mores Oreos on my hammock. So
there you go. Now you're living life the way it's supposed to be, buddy.
Tried to watch some TV or see some movies, but have not had much time for that.
So BoJack Horseman's back. Have you gotten into that yet?
I have not, because I've been too busy jamming out to Stranger Things.
It took me one day. It's so good.
I have not had the time that Adam has to watch it all in one day.
We'll talk about those. What I enjoyed about the conventions we've done is at all the shows, really, we've gotten to talk a little bit about our Turning Your Fandom Into a Business, which is our new panel. So we've always done the Broadcast Your Podcast panel, which you can go back through our archives of the podcast and hear some of those, to where we kind of do a Q&A session and help tell people what not to do to be successful at podcasting. And what we've basically done is just extended that into the business world. And the turnout for those have been amazing. Been a lot of fun. And I know this feels like forever ago, and we've shared the story amongst us, but I don't think we shared it on the podcast yet. Well, Adam and I got to sign a macaroni and cheese box too because of one of those panels. So that was always a blast.
That was legit. Yeah.
I feel like we talked about that at some point, did we not?
It might have got brought up at the O Comic Con panel, but I don't know.
No, I think we talked about it. We didn't record the one at. We tried to record the one at Planet Comic Con.
Right. The one at Planet failed.
Oh, the one after. Yeah, the podcast. Yeah. And none of those recordings actually happened. So if you go to your broadcast, your podcast panel, you won't get one from 2016. You're going to have to go back. So another lesson on what not to do or what to do, test the audio beforehand. But no, it's a really fun panel. We didn't record it at either one. I think at Omaha, we had it at 9 when the doors opened because it got messed up on the schedule.
9 on Sunday.
Yeah, on Sunday. And it got messed up on the schedule. So Matt's like, the only place I got's 9. And by the way, Matt's the guy who runs the show. And we're like, that's fine. We still want to do it. And so Adam and I didn't even sit up at the desk. We sat up at the front of the stage. Super informal. I mean, Tyler roamed in a couple times. Matt, the guy who runs the show, roamed in and threw out some lines. We shouted out to people in the hallway to come in. But even for it to be right there, we waited about 5 minutes or so because the doors had just opened. And I mean, still half the room was full. And of course, the one at Planet Comic-Con, which I was not expecting, we had a full house. It was pretty good. So a lot of people want to learn what not to do from us on Turning Your Fandom Into a Business. So pretty good panels. Hopefully we'll get to record it at one of these future shows. So we can share it with you. But I don't know. That was one of my highlights. Really one of my highlights. A lot of highlights setting up publishing for the first time at Planet Comic Con. And we had Brian Timmons, C.W. Cook, both Barons. And then, of course, Brett Jones from Radiation Day all there with us. So that was pretty cool. Erin had her own booth and we debuted the cosplay cover for Barons, which was hugely successful, sold out at Planet Comic Con. We had to do a second printing of, which I think we're only down to like a handful of those as well. So if you're going to see us next month at Colorado Springs Comic Con, get your money out or quick because it's pretty much gone. But yeah, pretty cool to see some of the stuff that's happening with publishing. Really exciting. Erin really loves that Blue Moon book. Still hasn't read it though, but she really loves it and sells it to people.
Yeah, I do. Hey, I've glanced at it. It has a pretty cover and art on the inside. I've looked in the inside.
She's past the cover now, guys. She's past
the cover. Have you read any of the words?
There's naked people inside.
That's true. So one of our upcoming titles won't be the first one to have nude people in it, unfortunately.
Well, did you say unfortunately titles. Or fortunately?
Yeah. I said unfortunately because we need... No, I guess fortunately.
I'm confused. I'm super confused. Because
Erin wants more nude people in comic books, so
obviously.
Actually, I wrote this one called Task Force Max, which we're working on right now, pairing with an artist. And there's like two scenes, and Erin was one of the people that got to screen the page summaries, the breakdown. And at the beginning of issue 4, there's a fight sequence, and she's like, maybe, you know, maybe you should show some nudity. I was like, okay, I guess a woman is pushing me to show more woman nudity in comics. So
everybody wants to see more boobs.
To be fair, what was your favorite comic book as a young man?
Witchblade, but you never actually saw the boobs.
I mean,
they were strategic,
like 82% of them, probably.
Not a lot left.
You never saw nipple. You put it that way. You never saw
a lot. Not a lot left to the imagination there.
It was a good comic book.
There's people at Zetascope who look at Witchblade and like, man, that's a little too far.
I don't know about that. Tedesco and team got it pretty going there pretty well. But anyways, so a lot. Yeah, check it out. Of course, a lot of coverage there. The one show we weren't at, which we still had a lot of coverage on, was just this past weekend, San Diego Comic-Con, Comic-Con International. And I'm going to let you all tell me what your favorite trailers were. But before we even get into it, I've just got to say, that Wonder Woman trailer, wow. Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, wow, DC, Warner Brothers, like, maybe, you know, maybe we found the right people to be behind and in front of the camera here.
Maybe you don't let Zack Snyder direct it, and then look what happens. The problem is they did that trailer for, now granted, it's just like a little teaser trailer, but the teaser trailer for Justice League, which is technically still a movie he's directing, was actually fun and lighthearted and kind of jokey, which concerns me. Like, is there someone standing over his shoulder at all times now being like, no, bad Zack Snyder?
Like, no, you stay in the corner until you figure this out. But I want to kill people with Superman's laser eyes. No.
I don't know. It's tough to say because DC pulled out a lot of stuff, but at the same time, DC's in a spot where they literally have to show us everything to try and buy back some goodwill before anything happens. Where Marvel's like, okay, you guys can have like this one.
Yeah, they still haven't even released the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 footage on.
Oh, you want to see the rest of that? Should have came to Comic-Con.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, well, we're not gonna let it leak this time. No, you're right. DC threw it all out there. The new trailer for Suicide Squad, which was actually also a soundtrack sampler, so they teased a lot of the music, was really good, probably their best trailer yet, and got me back to that, because I, you know, I'm on that fence going back and forth with it, and it put me back on the side of being somewhat interested. The Wonder Woman trailer, I still can't get over that.
Wonder Woman trailer was fantastic. The Suicide Squad trailer is like, I'm gonna go see it. I don't have super high hopes for it. The problem with the Suicide Squad is they need to try slightly harder in the trailers to make me not believe that a bunch of people just sat in a room and be like, I need you to pick a bunch of DC characters and make a Guardians of the Galaxy. Cool. Okay. Thanks. Bye. Like, I mean, the first trailer.
I'm okay with that.
Oh, I am too. But every trailer since then has been very clear. Like, people like that Guardians of the Galaxy movie, right? Let's do that. Let's do that for trailers. But I don't know. All I want to see is the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 trailer that everyone else got to see at Comic-Con.
That's what I'm saying. They haven't even released it, and supposedly Groot stole the show.
Well, that was in the scene, but then the trailer, in place of, now off of Awesome Mix Volume 2, instead of Hooked on a Feeling, it's The Chain by Fleetwood Mac, which, if you're familiar with that song, like, that's got to be an awesome trailer.
I know. I need to see this, and they still haven't leaked it. And a lot of information, of course, you know, the full cast for Black Panther, Brie Larson announced for Captain Marvel, Thor, they showed some of the armor for Hulk. So they're kind of making it, you know, mixing the Planet Hulk in there, which I'm pretty excited about, because that'll be a great way to use that character in a cinematic way. And then, of course, they dropped. It was weird, because when I was thinking about it, I'm like, we're this close to Doctor Strange, and we've only seen one teaser trailer for it at this point, which was kind of odd. Had we seen the second one?
No, the second one was
Comic-Con. Yeah, at Comic-Con. That's what I was saying. So up to Comic-Con, when I was seeing it, I was like, wait a second. I'm about to do this post and watch this trailer. We've only seen one teaser trailer, and we're just a couple months out. That was kind of odd. And then you see this full-blown trailer, which gives you, I mean, Mads Mikkelsen. It gives you a full view of everything, and I'm just like, whoo.
I think Marvel's reached the point where they don't have to go all DC on their marketing budget. They can be like, hey guys, we got a new movie. Here's who's in it. Have fun. Tickets go on sale next week.
I would agree with that. I think that, gosh, that Doctor Strange trailer does look just really good.
That cloak flip, though.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. No, I'm on board. I'm fully on board. Whatever they want to do. But I think you're right, Tyler. They're at the point where it's like, yeah. Couple months out, and we haven't shown you 17 trailers like I've seen for Suicide Squad. Cool, I'm okay with that. But they don't need to, because I have faith that the movie they're going to make is going to be good.
It just upsets me that Marvel's gotten to a point where, like, I'm just sitting there reading someone else describe a trailer they watched and getting super pumped about it. Like, when it's all said and done, as much as, like, I need to see that Guardians of the Galaxy, I love the Doctor Strange, I'd like to see all the other stuff, all I really want to see, and I've been burned a couple times before in ways that I can't adequately describe in words, I am so excited about Homecoming, it's stupid.
That's good. I got quiet there for a second. I don't know.
Is no one else excited about Homecoming? Because I'm really excited about Homecoming.
There was a lot of good stuff. And I, like you said, Marvel a lot with the TV as well. Dropped a new trailer for Legion on FX. I don't know if you got that trailer. Looked pretty interesting.
So
and different.
How does that work? Like it still says Marvel Studios, but Fox is still the...
So they've actually, so that's the reason it's on FX, and they're going to do an actual X-Men series supposedly on Fox in agreement with Marvel. And it's my understanding that it's just this bad blood, because the Sony blood wasn't bad. And so that's why I think the Spider-Man transition was easy. The Fox
The Sony blood was kind of bad until Sony just finally came to terms with the fact that, oh shit, we're bad at this.
Like, yeah, but
after the leak and then like the other two Spider-Man movies, they're like, all right, fine.
But Sony would do that. Sony was kind of in a way where they would just throw up the middle finger every once in a while to Marvel. Fox pretty much had just somebody hired to face Disney or Marvel Studios and just flip them off from 9 to 5 every day. That was pretty much where their relationship was. And I feel like that's lessening as the more and more you're hearing about this and you're seeing it. I think we're seeing it on TV first. I wouldn't be surprised if you see it successful on TV. This is where you see then maybe the Fantastic Four and some of those other ones kind of come back into the family and they do that partnership. As we've talked about it before on the podcast, Marvel's hands were so tied in the late 90s when they had to sell these properties, movie rights, not the actual properties themselves. But to the point where they had to include so much of the merchandising rights, so much of everything else. And the level of, if they introduce any character that is considered a mutant or in the X-Men universe or anything associated with Fantastic Four, Fox can put their hands all over it. Like, they were tied. And now I feel like it's that point where Marvel, like you said, Marvel can do no wrong, that it's almost the point where they could just, I feel like they can just walk in and say, all right, Fox, you got to do what we want you to do at this point. And the fans want it too. So they have to kind of listen. Otherwise you're just going to keep seeing these shitty readaptations or relaunches of Fantastic Four.
Oh, that movie should have been so much better than it was too. It's so disappointing when you see like what they did. Like, how did anybody go into a room and be like, you know what we're going to do? Here's the idea I've got for this movie. And now people are like, that's genius. How much money do you need to make that? 80 million? Cool. No problem. Let me find a checkbook real quick. We'll get this taken care of.
Who signed off on it? I don't know.
That's what I mean. But when you look at it, like, I'm okay with the cast. I actually really liked the four together. I thought it was great, and there's good interplay there. And like, hey, this actually could have been something quite good. But no, it was
not. It was terrible. It was just terrible the way Dr. Doom got set up. I mean, I don't know. So I only saw it about a month ago. I had a weekend where I just was not in the mood to do anything. So I just vegged through some movies and watched some decent movies that weekend. And then I think it was my third movie. So I started with Fast and Furious 7, which was not that good. A lot of people liked it. I think
that's exactly what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, but it wasn't as good as, like, I felt like 4 through 6 has been the best part of that franchise. And 7 was just kind of, and I think it got a lot of praise because of the sentimental value. So anyways.
I'm sorry. The fact that you're able to talk about that franchise and be like, you know, when it comes to Fast and the Furious, 4 through 6 are
it was
obviously the best installments. 1 is solid. 2, not so much. 3, I don't even know what's going on.
First of all,
there.
Don't even
4,
put
5 and 6, though. Fantastic. 7, I don't know. Wasn't the kind of phone that one in. 8, though, super pumped about.
2 is a train wreck anyways. I just got to put that in there. But no, okay, I'll go with Adam. It was whatever it was. So I wasn't terribly disappointed. I watched it for free, you know, HBO on demand. Then I went to Man from U.N.C.L.E., which I was actually pleasantly surprised with. I really enjoyed that movie, like a lot enjoyed that movie, mainly because I had heard so many bad things about it. And then I went to Fantastic Four. And I think I took a nap through the whole part where they escaped the facility and then came back. Because they escaped the facility. I was getting tired. And then the next thing I know, I was waking up and they were already back with Dr. Doom ready to attack him. And I still feel like I didn't really miss anything. So
no, you're actually quite good there. Yeah, no, that was a good decision on your part.
And that nap allowed me to finish watching. I think I finished BoJack Horseman season 2 at that point. So I was able to get the rest of that night in. So I do appreciate that nap.
Wow, that's what did you do after that? And go like sit under the shower and just cry.
I know, right? Like that's pretty much where I was. Because the end of season 2, too. Also,
season 2 is crushing.
No,
it's the worst thing ever.
Destroying.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody can even watch that show. It's just sad. It's like so stupid sad because it's supposed to be funny, and then you're just like,
why? Just got, why did this
funny at
why
times?
Did this show about a cartoon horse get so real?
It's not funny.
When I explain it to people,
it's way too real.
I explain it to people. I'm like, you have to watch this show, and I'm like, I really can't. I mean, you'll finish. You're going to watch 2 or 3 episodes, and at the end of it, you're going to be laughing so hard, you're going to be like, I have to tell everybody to go watch this, and then you'll get to the next episode, and you'll be like, This hurts. Like, why does life suck so bad?
I don't think it's ever that funny, though. It's just sad the whole time.
There is some dark comedy in there that's you just can't help but laugh at it. But also, like, if you've ever – you got to roll in there and be very clear up front. Like, hey, have you ever been depressed or indulged in self-destructive tendencies? Because this is going to get real
fast. Yeah, and it's a little too close to home, I guess, is the way you put it. But, no, there's some great running jokes in it. Hollywoo is still a thing even in season 3. The way they play Mr. Peanut Butter. So obviously BoJack Horseman is a horse, like a humanoid horse. And then Mr. Peanut Butter is a dog. And the way they play the dog jokes off of him are fantastic. Like he just can't help it. Like he gets sprayed by a skunk. And so they give him a tomato bath and he's like, it's on me. I got to shake it off. They're like, don't shake it. You're going to get it. Everybody's like, I can't do it. And he's got to shake it off. Or they're like, Go fetch me a job. He's like, go get it, boy. Go get it.
This is not funny.
It's kind of funny. We got to dial back the Netflix and new stuff because we got to circle back to a little bit more Comic-Con stuff.
Yeah, San Diego Comic-Con. Okay, so sorry. So Wonder Woman trailer.
And then Adam and I are going to talk about the thing on Netflix you should have been watching.
Okay, hold on. So what trailers caught your eyes this weekend?
You were talking about TV Legion, which I guess if we're going to go that route, if we're going to pick one character to make it, I don't know, whatever. But other TV shows, obviously we got a little teaser for Iron Fist, for Luke Cage, and for the Defenders. And even if Defenders was literally just stick talking over graphics of letters, I don't care. I'm pumped. But Luke Cage looks legit. But then we got some
other... He just walks on in there like he don't give a damn and just starts...
We got some other trailers for television. Most notably, we got our first look, real look at American Gods. And there's Shadow, there's Wednesday. I mean, everyone's there. There's Bilquis, there's the Djinn, like just shit going Mr. World and media and stuff like that. And like every time I turn around, they've cast someone else between Gillian Anderson as media and Kristen Chenoweth as Yastra. And every time I turn around, they've cast someone else. It's going to be Crispin Glover. And just, oh my God, I'm so excited.
I love these movie channel budgets for these shows because you can do stuff like that. You can say, we're bringing our A game and there's nothing that's going to stop us.
I don't know. I'm trying to think what other trailers came out.
So super excited. So King Arthur is one of my favorite things of all time. Love King Arthur. And now Guy Ritchie is doing a King Arthur movie. Look, there was some questionable parts about it, but at the same time, just me saying Guy Ritchie doing a King Arthur movie gets me super, super excited.
Here's the thing. I thought I was excited when I heard Guy Ritchie and King Arthur, and then I watched that trailer. And as much as I love me some Guy Ritchie, that is one just hodgepodge of nonsense.
It's interesting in an idea, and then I need to see more in the application, I guess. I'm not.
Where's Guy Ritchie let you down at this point, though? Besides not doing the Lobo movie.
It's not so much that he's let me down. It's just like, I don't go into any of his movies with high expectations, I guess is where I'm at. Because I'm always expecting, like, I'm not expecting, but I'm almost waiting for that other shoe to drop.
Okay, I can see what you're saying. But it hasn't. And I feel like when you add King Arthur to the mix, you can't.
Well, you can.
See, I even enjoyed the Clive Owen King Arthur movie that most people probably don't care for at all.
No, you did not.
Oh, come on.
Stop it.
It was good. It was really good. I love it.
I'm also, I mean, obviously I have a bit of a thing for Mr. Luc Besson, but I'm very excited about Valerian as well. that look, the buzz from that has been super strong.
So, and there was tons more. A lot of trailers not even related to typical stuff you would see, but now it's become such a big thing to launch trailers at Comic-Con. We saw a lot more. But,
oh, yeah. And another TV stuff, season two of The Expanse. It promises to be crazy. If anyone watched the first season, you should. Or go pick up Leviathan Wakes and the rest of The Expanse books by James S.A. Corey. And then I don't know how I feel about it yet, but as much as I love Douglas Adams and all things Douglas Adams, so I will definitely check out Dirk Gently, Holistic Detective Agency with Elijah Wood. The trailer was trippy and weird, just like a Dirk Gently thing should be.
I don't know if Aaron's down for that. No. Okay. Good talk.
What? Because Douglas Adams or because Elijah Wood?
Douglas Adams and Elijah Wood, I figured would have been a double four right there. But anyways, also to all the CW trailers, of course, all the DC stuff on CW dropped, which a lot of people get behind that. And just for the record, I am in what, season three or four, whatever the last season is on Netflix of Arrow, by the way. So I'm in season three, mainly because my son's been watching it. And so I've been catching it, and
it's good, right?
I've been stuck to it. It's good. It's like The Flash. It was better than I was expecting.
Yeah.
But people still trying to sell me on Gotham, and I'm like, yeah, not going to do it. So
Gotham is fun as long as you pretend like it's not, has absolutely zero to do with Batman or the Batman universe. Cause it's just a big clusterfuck of nonsense. But if you pretend like
I can't do it,
there's another world where there's people named, you know, Gordon and Penguin.
This is Earth 768.
Something like that.
Ooh, speaking of Batman, I picked up The Dark Knight Returns, and it's a nice hardcover edition. Looks really, really cool. And it comes with a Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. There we go. In the back,
is it both volumes?
Is it the motion comic?
No, it's the animated one.
The actual animated one.
Is it both volumes?
What do you mean, both volumes?
Because there was a two-part release for that animated movie.
Let's see. It's 30th anniversary edition. I would guess so. I don't know. You know I don't know about comics.
You say 38th anniversary edition?
30th.
I was going to say the 39th anniversary edition.
Jerks.
When they released the animated version of The Dark Knight Returns, they did it in two-part, and then they released it as like the double pack.
Oh, I'm guessing it came as just onto one Blu-ray, if I had to guess, but I'm not sure.
I have the re-release with both of them, and I think it's on one disc too. So, because you can watch it straight through, I'm pretty sure. So,
right.
It's really good. I love their animated stuff follows so faithfully, which I don't know. I'm assuming none of us saw The Killing Joke. That just
apparently came. That's just a shit show disaster.
I've heard both sides of it, so I don't know. We'll see. It's hard. I've heard that Alan Moore will appreciate that. Yeah, another one of his properties is bastardized on the screen. And then I've also heard that it was just fantastically done. So we will see.
Well, I heard that like parts of it are good, but they tried to add a bunch to fill it out because it's not a very long story. And it got a little weird.
With Batman and Batgirl?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just go read the Mary Sue. They're already flipping out about it. But yeah, I'll wait to see it. I think it comes out on Blu-ray DVD next week, first week of August. So not too far behind with it, but, yeah, trailer. That's about what San Diego Comic-Con is now. Outside of trailers, they had, of course, the announcement, which we knew, you know, more details on Mystery Science Theater 3000, which is now hitting Netflix. Well, let's see here. I'm going to look at some of the things we have here on Project Nerd, cause we did a lot of coverage. Tara Strong actually cosplaying as Harley Quinn was a big deal. So we covered a little bit about that. I see here. They released three different animated shorts of new Ninja Turtles, which was pretty fun. And then although we're not getting the live action Justice League Dark from Guillermo del Toro, it's coming to the animated universe. So we're at least getting some Justice League Dark on some size of screen.
And if you know, and if it's animated, you know it'll at least be like pretty good.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's Del Toro, you know it's going to probably be pretty good too. So yeah,
that's true. That's true.
You also had Dark Horse announcing their new Serenity books, so the new Serenity comics, and then let me see, DC and IDW partnering for another couple partnerships. So they're going to do a second run of Ninja Turtles and Batman. as well as Star Trek and Green Lantern. So that should be interesting.
And I think that's a really interesting combination. I like those two worlds kind of coming together.
Yeah, so that should be pretty cool. Let me see. I thought we had a couple other trailers, of course, we covered. And then, of course, the 2016 Eisner Awards, which we didn't touch too much on, but really quickly, all the wonderful pictures of John Barrowman in cosplay. I don't know. Did you guys see it?
He's just Squirrel Girls.
Oh, my gosh.
His Squirrel Girls on point. We got a Sherlock season 4 trailer.
That's right.
That looked good.
I still haven't finished season 3. I don't want it to end. So I'll wait till
season 3 because they have the Christmas special on there as okay. well.
And you can't watch the Christmas special until you've watched all the seasons.
Okay. Right. You need to watch season 3.
Okay. I can do that. But speaking of John Barrowman's costumes, Aaron, do you know who made those for him? Jessica LG. So well-known cosplayer.
Wait, she made his Squirrel Girl?
Squirrel Girl, his Zap Brannigan, and his, what was the other ones he did? I don't even remember all the ones he did.
I just remember the Zap Brannigan and the Squirrel Girl, but she made all of them?
Yeah, she made all his costumes for him. Hey,
that's cool.
Jessica LG, super big sweetheart, LA cosplayer who works also for, was it We Are Fine now? Is that the brand?
I don't know.
That does a bunch of geeky stuff.
She just like makes ridiculously amazingly high quality amazing things.
But the biggest thing was with that, not only John Barrowman, but Image Comics just destroying it with Best Continuing Series Southern Bastards, Best Limited Series The Fade Out, Best New Series Paper Girl, all belonging to Image Comics. So the three big best series you can get, all belonging to Image Comics. And then although we saw some good attention last year from Lumberjanes, they almost doubled the nominations of women writers and artists and creators this year. So good representation from women creators. And of course, big wins, mainly in the younger category. So best publication for teens, best humor publication, some of those too, by some women creators. So you can definitely check that out. It was cool to see. But yeah, Image Comics, wow, like best continuing series, best limited series, best new series. And when you consider it, like if you were to compare it to the Academy Awards, those are your big ones because you're basically taking home the series of the year, and they took home all three big ones for Image. So that was pretty impressive there for one publisher to do that. No representation from Project Net Publishing this year. We're hoping next year you'll see us at the Eisners. We'll see how that goes, but I don't know. I've just rambled it all out because there's so much more from San Diego Comic-Con and other news stories that on Project Nerd that we haven't even hit a number of things, but I won't delay us too much further because I do know that you guys want to get to Stranger Things and everybody and their, it's like the only thing that has finally slowed down my news feed on Facebook from Pokemon Go stuff has been Stranger Things.
It's like 1980s Steven Spielberg, 1980s David Lynch, and 1980s John Carpenter had a creepy love child,
with a script written by 1970s Stephen King, like,
and then the music played in the background was done by the Alan Parsons Project. I forgot how much I love synthesizer music and neon letters with serif font.
Oh my gosh,
that's all I need in my life. I just need neon letters and serif font and synthesizer music, and I'm happy.
I mean, I'm already sold on this, and that's definitely helping, but I just haven't gotten
it. All it does is makes me want to go watch shit tons of, like, 80s movies and 80s TV shows. I just want to go watch, I don't know, Weird Science and...
Goonies
and... I don't know. It's so good.
Everything.
It's so good. The actors, everyone in it is fantastic. Winona Ryder and David Harbour kill it. All the kid actors are, like, can act. Like, they've got game. The story is, it's just the right amount of like creepy and scary, but like, I don't know. It's so good. It's a work of art. Like just the story and everything else aside, the acting aside, it's just a work of art. It's beautiful.
There's been nothing but praise for it. They've already not only renewed it for a season 2, they've basically said, we've got plenty of seasons still to come of this. I think that was the official quote unquote from Netflix. There are plenty of seasons of Stranger Things in the works now because of the popularity of it. It's one of those ones. I as much as we see strong reactions to Netflix shows and you see really good reactions to them, I think it's House of Cards, Orange is the New Black is the last time we saw a response quite like this to a new series they've launched, to where it's just basically saying this is just going to run its course forever because people are nuts about it.
Well, and that's the thing, like Laura and I were trying to figure out, we were talking about like how, like the cross section of people talking about this in my newsfeed is varied for sure. Like it, people from all walks of life. And we're trying to figure out, you know, how do they do that? And, you know, so they said it in the '80s and they do it. I mean, it felt like an '80s movie or an '80s. It felt like a movie, but an '80s TV show since it's only 8 episodes. And, you know, so it hits on that nostalgia feeling for people our age, maybe just a little bit older, who grew up watching eighties TV. Like it feels right. You know, the main characters, the kids play Dungeons and Dragons. So anybody who grew up playing Dungeons and Dragons, like it feels good to them. It feels like Goonies. Like, I mean, it hits basically every walk of life where you're like, oh, you like this? Cool. You should watch this TV show. You like things that are a little bit creepy? Cool. You should watch this TV show. You like things that are a little bit nostalgic? Cool. You should watch this TV show.
It's got a little bit of the Goonies. It's got a little bit of some Twin Peaks in there. It's got some John Carpenter's like The Thing and some other that. I mean, it's just, it's got a little bit of everything going on. It's got the, you know, some weird high school cliquish drama and popular kids and nerdy kids. It's got, you know, high school teenage makeout party where the one kid gets picked off at the edge. I mean, there's so much going on. It's so good. It's also got an amazing soundtrack outside of the synth, like Toto and the Clash and things like that. It's pretty good.
Can I say that every single thing that you guys are just describing, all of it sounds like, I don't want to watch that. Like, I've seen the Goonies.
I was going to mute you. I was going to do it.
Seen the Goonies.
Seen the Goonies like 9 million times.
Yeah, but why would I want to watch a show with all that rolled into it? That sounds horrible.
Sounds amazing.
I don't know. I guess I just am not that nostalgic for the friggin' 80s.
Hipster. Gross. Aaron.
I don't like the 80s.
I'm going to bring it back around to before Stranger Things real quick, because while you were doing that, it hit my feed. We were just talking about Justice League Dark getting the animated launch. Now they've released the first stills and footage of it. So I guess because, you know, the animated movies, when they release them on Blu-ray, they do the teasers for the next one. So since The Killing Joke is about to be released on Blu-ray, they've already put that out online. So Constantine, Deadman, Zatanna, but the image also has Batman in it. Just going to put it in there. Deadman, Zatanna, Constantine, all normals. I'd love to see Swamp Thing. He's one that sometimes is a part of the team. You're consistent with those main three. The rest of the team usually changes, so we'll see who it's going to be. But Batman regularly interacts with Zatanna. Deadman.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's kind of like an introduction to building a team. Like if it's an origin story for the Justice League Dark. So he's like, hey, let me help you guys get started and push you in the right direction, and I'll see you later.
Don't know. So I saw the pictures. I don't know the video. I just saw a couple links that said first look. So as we're recording, so by the time you listen to this, you'll have a chance to check more of it out. If you've broken away from Stranger Things or BoJack Horseman season 3, which I've only gotten 3 episodes in, and I'm going to tell you right now, Tyler, it's fine. But it feels like right now it's filler. Like that's kind of how it feels. The whole 3rd episode, it was fun, but it was total, like just nothing to move forward the series type thing. So
that's all right. Stranger Things is still pretty good.
So I'll have to give that a visit for sure.
I went and saw Star Trek last night too.
So give us a little bit on how that is.
It's okay. It's the thing. Like a lot of people were trying to tell me that it was super good, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't great. I would say it's better than the second one. Not as good as the first one of the remakes. It's really fun and there's some cool stuff going on and there's some great graphics. And I went a little overboard on the concern with the Justin Lin. But it definitely has Justin Lin's stamp on it. There's definitely a lot of ridiculous scenes and explosions. And there's this one very specific scene towards the end of the movie where they have a giant fight set to a song from the 90s. And it's very like, is this real life? What's going on here?
Sabotage?
Yeah.
It's very, let's see.
I'm down.
Simon Pegg-ish, would you say?
I won't even go that far. It's, I mean, there is, I can't describe the scene without like ruining a big climax of the movie, but there's a big climactic scene in the movie set to Sabotage, but not just set to Sabotage, like Sabotage. It's, there's more to it than that. And it's something else. Like everyone in it was good.
I'm down.
I still can't get over anytime I see him on screen how fucking good Carl Urban is at being DeForest Kelly. It just blows my fucking mind every time. Like everyone else is good.
Oh my gosh. Just, yeah.
Like everyone else is good at their character. Like Chris Pine's a good Kirk and Quinto's a good Spock and Zoe Saldana's a good Uhura and Sulu and Chekhov and everything. But God, oh my God, Carl Urban is so good as Bones. It's creepy. And I just love Carl Urban in all things, but mainly as Bones. He's so good.
He, can we just speak on that for a second? Like in all things, like there's not a role, like it's do this for your role. And he's like, perfect. He's like almost to the point of where if he was to look more different, I think people think he has too much of a pretty face to hide him, that he looks the same in most of it. But if you were to disguise him up, he would be like...
Anytime he pops up in something, I get super excited.
Yeah, like, oh, for sure.
I'm super pissed that Almost Human got canceled. Like, it wasn't a super well-written show, but any scene with him and Ely, like, just in the car talking, was, like, the best part of the entire show. Like, it was so good. The new Dread was amazing.
Yes. I just watched Red again recently, and that's a fun movie.
He's so good. He's so good at Red.
Yeah, like his role in that, like the part where they introduce him where he's planning the evidence in the house and he's like on the phone with his wife and stuff, and it's just like, oh man, this is just perfect. He is really in everything, but you're right. You're right on. Like,
he led the Writers of the Mark in the pursuit of the Arakai, and he was quite good at that as well. So just saying, he can do it all.
So I have to come back around full circle one more time because I did open one of the Justice League Dark articles. I'm super excited.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so Matt Ryan, who was Constantine on the NBC show, is doing the voice for Constantine. But we do get Swamp Thing, Etrigan, and Black Orchid with Satana, Deadman, and Constantine. So a pretty good team. And, yes, it does confirm that Batman is in it. So, okay, I won't say anything more about it. I just wanted to put that out there. I muted myself now so that I wouldn't say anymore. All right. So we've talked Netflix, Star Trek's out. Star Trek had a really good weekend at the box office as well.
Let's keep that train on. Let's
talk. Is that where you want to go? Is that where you want to go?
Yeah. Come on.
I got tickets this weekend to Bourne. That'll be good.
I don't think that's where Adam wanted to go with it.
But you need to set your lineup in Fantasy Movie League. So you had a couple empty theaters last week, Tyler.
I know, but I was banking on something helping. I set it like on Monday and then was super busy and never went back to like reset it because I was going off early week predictions and didn't adjust. I usually like set it on Monday and then I tweak it on like Thursday after they rechanged the it was not a good week for me. I get that. I understand.
No, it was not a good week for you.
I'll be fine.
So where are we at in the overall standings, Adam? Let's
overall standings. I am in first place through 9 weeks with $851 million. I have 0 weekly wins, which I'm hoping to hold strong out through the whole season without winning a week and win the year. That's my goal. Ann is in second place with $811 million. And Tyler took a bit of a beating and is down in third place at $807 million. So he's $4 million behind Ann.
It's a close race.
And $44 million behind me.
That's one weekend, though. That can be flipped around in one weekend by any three of you. So who's holding down fourth place?
That would be you as the only other person who set a lineup at least once this year.
Right.
And I think you said it once, and then it slowly got less.
I'll try to reset it. We're going to get – I know the Sexy Nerd Science guys agreed to play
this upcoming season. Get the app, kids, because it sends you – Friday morning, it sends you a notification like, hey – lineups close in 30 minutes. Go ahead and set your lineup. And you can do it right there.
I need to do it. I know. I need to do that.
So there's an app now?
Yes.
We're out of excuses. I get it.
Right.
I need to do it. All right. So Fantasy Movie League, we'll have more people joining us this year. Hopefully we'll get, for the next season, get a good turnout. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but exciting nonetheless. But yeah, great weekend, I think, for Star Trek. Bourne getting a lot of getting a lot of early buzz for it. It's going to be a competitive weekend this upcoming weekend. So it'll be interesting to see how Fantasy Movie League plays out, as well as the actual box office, of course. But San Diego Comic-Con just in the clear. So we're at that point in August where it's like, what's next? What's next? I mean, I guess we still got a lot of exciting stuff next around the corner.
I was going to say, it's, you know, 8-9 days until Suicide Squad comes out. It's not like we have to wait that long for another
big movie,
especially with Bourne this weekend. I mean, those are two big, big movies back to back there. So,
and there's
Preacher's on TV still. It's quite good. So everybody needs to catch back up with that. And God, Mr. Robot season 2 is just picking up where season 1 left off and just killing it. If you guys haven't watched,
still haven't watched it, I've heard amazing things.
So season 1 is on Prime. So go pick it up. Get in there. It's fantastic.
Also, you mentioned Preacher, which, just can I say, yes, fantastic. It's, the characters are so, so perfectly replicated from the comics. Like, I don't know if I've seen a TV show that copies the characters over from a comic book that well. It's really
they did a reading of the next episode at Comic-Con, and apparently the next one we finally really get the Saint of Killers. So
yeah, that's what I saw that posted. That'll be exciting. But oh man, dude, just your main three characters, I can't get over it. It's fantastic. It's hilarious. It's gory and dark, and it's, I feel like it's not in the same, cause I've only read the first volume of Preacher, so I didn't get enough into it. And so I'm picking up on a lot what's going on, obviously, in this first season, but I also feel like they've kind of, obviously, as you're going to do when you switch to a TV show, it's not bouncing quite as much as the comic does. So
yeah, they've condensed a lot of stuff, or, you know, streamline a lot of things, but everyone in it.
Is that on A&E?
AMC.
AMC.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's been super good. I mean, everyone in it's, I mean, I've always been a huge Dominic Cooper fan ever since like the History Boys.
Mm.
I love him and James Corden. Like, that's such a good movie. Good play. Anyway, I've always liked Dominic Cooper, and then he's killing it. But everyone else, Jackie Earle Haley is Ode Queen Cannon is just terrifying.
Can we just talk about Cassidy though? Like,
Cassidy's flawless,
like, just fantastic. The opening, the first scene with him is just perfect. With it
on the airplane,
yeah. Oh, it's just fantastic. But anything he does is just marvelous. He was definitely easily the comic relief in the comic, and he's doing this, serving the same service here in the show. But I do love Tulip to death as well, too. Both their introduction scenes, fantastic as the comic. So, Adam, if you haven't watched it, you need to check it out. It's really, really good show. I don't know. Aaron, Preacher?
Yeah, I'm in love with it. It's like one of my favorite shows ever. And I've only seen, you know, just a few episodes. I'm obsessed.
All right. The excitement
level. Holy cow, yeah.
Excitement level through the roof there with the... If you can tell by, you listen to her words, ignore the tone of the voice, just listen to the words, because it was...
You guys, it's amazing. Like, for real. Like, I can't even describe to you how much I want all of you to all watch it immediately. Like, seriously. This weekend, I was telling somebody, like, right now. Like, I was so intense that they immediately dropped what they were doing and recorded it right then. I'm not even kidding. I was, like, yelling at them.
So, who's your favorite character so far?
Duh. Preacher.
Jesse.
Oh, Jesse. Cassidy's pretty cool too. He's hilarious. Cassidy's great. But Jesse's just like, he's fucking stone cold. Sorry for the bad words, but he's cool.
He's pretty stone cold.
He's so cool, man. He's like the coolest. I like him a lot.
Yeah, Preacher still on, almost over. Mr. Robot back, which received tons of Emmy nominations too. So not just getting fan praise, but critical praise as well. So a lot of going on. That's great. You know, you think about it. When we were kids, like, summer TV was nothing. It was reruns and just regurgitated crap. And now we get good television all year round. And the best part about it is I don't even have to watch it on cable with commercials. I just watch it however I'd need to or want to. So that's what makes it even better. Just my thought. Just my 2 cents for the moment.
No, we got some good things going on right now. And Movie season's getting ready to rev up again. Because next week we'll have Suicide Squad. This week, though, we get the return of Matt Damon and Paul Greengrass to the Bourne series. And I'm pumped. I already got my tickets.
Yeah. And there's a couple couple killer scenes in that trailer even. No, it looks definitely like it's going back to vintage Bourne for sure. And by vintage, I mean, what, like 8-10 years ago?
I mean, the first one came out a long time ago.
Has it been? It's been a while.
I think it was 16 or 15 years. It was 2001 for that first, the Bourne Identity. Yeah.
Man, so much for not feeling old at this moment.
I actually, after the Bourne Identity came out, Bourne Identity came out a little under a month after I graduated high school. It came out 14 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. Wait, we graduated high school 14 years ago. That's kind of
also depressing.
Yeah, that's kind of
not me. Yeah, a bunch of weirdos.
I do feel young when Adam's around.
Yeah, June 6, 2002 is when it hit theaters. Now I just need this one to do well so that we can get a Jeremy Renner, Matt Damon team up slash or face off. Either one, I don't care. Or half the movie is them fighting each other, and the second half of the movie is them teaming up and fighting everybody.
They realize both their mom's names are Martha, and then they join forces for the rest of the movie.
Hold on. That's not fair, because it just snapped Bruce out of his killing rage when he heard his mother's name. That's totally fair. And you guys
there's also
into it.
But who calls their mom by their first name? Why didn't he say my mom? Why did he say Martha?
What's also going
he just, to be he just heard the name and then he snapped out of it. If I heard my mom's name, I'd be like,
no.
Oh.
But Superman called his own mom by her first name. Who does that?
I do that all the time. I'd be like, hey, you're going to kill, like when I refer by my dad by his first name, I'll be like, you're going to kill Ralph.
Stop trying to defend it.
That's what I say.
Seriously. Also,
I call him Ralph all the time.
Just boil it down to that scene doesn't make up for the giant, like, ham-handed setup in the first scene of the movie, where we had the dream sequence within a dream sequence of him floating in
bats. I was just about to say, the Jeremy Renner, Matt Damon crossover, one of them's going to be dreaming where they have laser vision and just take out everybody in the desert. Murder.
Oh my gosh. You're right.
They're going to bring back Clive Owen and they're just going to have someone having dreams of that fight sequence with the magazine and the knife like four different times.
You know what I feel like?
You know what
we've
never seen Batman's parents get killed. I don't know if people know this or not, but the reason that Bruce Wayne became Batman is because one time when leaving the theater, his parents were murdered by someone.
I know. I felt the same way. Today I learned. I felt the same way. The way that I feel about this movie, though, is it's like when you have a family member that you love so, so much, and you know that they have flaws, and that's how I feel about it. It's like,
I will give you that. I give it enough of a pass. I get anything that has Batman in there, I will give enough of a pass because there's Batman in there. But overall, it's still a pretty bad.
Here's the problem. I would give it a pass if it had Batman in it. But a good chunk of that movie didn't have Batman in it. It had some moron who was pretending.
Batman is the greatest detective of all time. Now you fudged the bucket.
And he's the smartest person ever. And the entire plot hinges on him being a fucking moron.
Oh, man.
And a murderer.
It hinges on him being outsmarted by Jesse Eisenberg with crazy hair. Like, hey, I'm gonna intercept a couple checks and send you some angry notes, and that'll show Batman. He'll never see through this clever ruse.
But you had to have those moments so you could get that Ben Affleck angry glare at the screen scene.
I'm gonna go ahead and exit this conversation.
I'm saying I like Ben Affleck as Batman.
Bye, Felicia.
They made him stupid.
Well, then he's going to be super smart.
He only has one superpower, and that he's smarter than everyone else.
Well,
that's his only superpower.
Yeah, well,
that and being rich
smarted him out this time.
Money is one of the greatest superpowers.
Because he wrote some mean things in crayon on some letters and sent them to Bruce Wayne.
He wasn't paying attention. Why would he care?
Neither was Superman when he just stood there and let everybody blow up and die around him.
Yeah, exactly. See? Everybody was screwed up in this movie.
Some heroes they are. Anyways, so that's...
There's a reason that he had to double down and then some at Comic-Con, and it's because of the shit show that was BVS.
Good talks. It always comes full circle around there. So
what are you going to do?
It's a good way to end our wonderful power hour of episode 127, Batman versus Superman drama, as it always is when the four of us get together, more so when Aaron gets together with any of us, because the three of us are pretty much on the same page regarding Aaron's gonna combat it till the end, though. And you know what? I will give you credit for that. You stand behind what you believe, and she's not wavering. So, more power to you on that.
Make her watch Stranger Things so that she can admit to us that she was wrong about not wanting to see that.
Yes, Aaron, watch Stranger Things.
I am 100% certain that you guys are correct. And yet, this is like when you guys are like, swallow your medicine. You're going to like it. It's going to make you feel better. And I'm like, no.
We promise it's cherry flavored.
Don't sound good. I don't like The Clash. I don't like it.
What? Who doesn't like The Clash?
Who doesn't like now you're just getting stupid things.
Wait a second, Tyler. I know who doesn't like The Clash. Somebody who doesn't like Robert Redford. Somebody who's not American. I don't like that
pop 80s grossness. Maybe terrorist. Some of it, like, you know.
You are a terrorist.
Do you know who The Clash are?
It's not very good.
Pop 80s grossness?
Are you sure you know? Are we sure we're talking about the same band?
I don't think we are.
I'm pretty sure we're not.
Some of their stuff? Can you guys all do a trio for me real quick? Just go ahead.
You don't know who The Clash are, do you? Like, you just heard us say a band name and you assume that you knew what the fuck
you're
talking about.
I know who they are, and I know that I for sure do not like them.
I can tell you one thing. I'm not singing on
go ahead.
The podcast.
Anybody, do it.
I'm trying to think of what song. What song do they play in this?
Is it? It just sounds like shit. It sounds like The Cure, doesn't
it? Should I stay or should I go now? You don't know who The Clash is, do you?
You said it sounds like The
Cure. You have no idea who The Clash is.
I was confused with The Cure.
I'm going to go a little bit more. A little more.
Are you sure that's The Clash, Tyler?
I'm 100% sure that is The Clash.
I love The Clash. This is like the music from Gross Point Blank. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm pretty sure. Aren't The Clash
so angry at you right now?
Soundtrack.
Great.
Tyler, what? Is The Clash not on the Gross Point Blank soundtrack?
I'm pretty sure they are. Do they sing Blister in the Sun too?
No, that's the Violent Femmes. It's
like the same song.
No,
it's not even remotely the same song.
Wait, are they both like The Cure? Are they both the same as The Cure?
Shut up, man. I don't like The Cure. That is
for sure. Also good, though. Like, you should also not.
That is for sure.
Like, you shouldn't shit on The Cure either, to be honest.
But go ahead and do that. It has nothing to do with what we were talking about.
Look at Adam's face, everybody. Take a screenshot.
So angry. There's so many times.
If you're going to try and tell me that you don't also miss the rains down in Africa, you can shut your mouth.
I don't like that song. I hate it.
What?
I hate that song. Freaking hate it.
How do you feel about The Chain by Fleetwood Mac?
It's okay. But here's the thing. You guys are like, it's okay, especially you, Tyler. You're like the oldest in your family. Am I correct? So like you listen to this stuff. Yes, he is.
My mom and dad are older than me.
Yeah. You realize, like, I was, like...
I'm the youngest.
I was, like, negative 10 when The Clash hit the scene, right?
Yeah, but you came into this, like, on your own. Like, it's kind of like when, like, kids these days, like, in high school are, like, coming across Nirvana, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is cool, man. This is, like, real cool stuff. Like, me, I was listening to this stuff when I was, like, 5, and I was like, okay, I'm tired of this. Like, my older siblings listen to it.
When I was the oldest of my three siblings, of the three of us, and I forced my brother and sister to listen to the stuff I liked, and they hated it then. And then they got old and matured and realized, oh, yeah, Tyler was right. And now
that's oh. Wait, Aaron, you mentioned this band Nirvana. Is that like The Cure? I'm just not sure who that
Shut
is.
Up.
Right?
Shut up.
That's like Sublime, right?
It's pretty close to it.
That's like the same thing, right?
Shut up, man. You guys.
And Pearl Jam and Sublime.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, don't you.
Sure.
Oh, man. That's not funny. That's not even funny.
You thought The Clash was The Cure.
You guys, stop it. You guys know who these people are, though. That's not funny.
Everyone knows who these people are.
Yeah, I guess that was the whole point of the conversation. You were claiming you knew who they were.
I thought I knew the Clash.
Here's the thing. And I gave you like 15 chances to out, like get it taken out to be like,
yeah, but what other songs does The Clash sing? What other songs?
I got a lot.
If you can't give me more, then should I stay or should I go now?
Rock the Casbah.
I don't like that song.
London Calling. That's a good one.
You might need to sing it for me because I'm not good with song titles. Like even my favorite bands, I don't know. Okay, so Adam is just shaking his head. Can we get this on video, please? Can we just start recording video? Adam is super disappointed.
The funny thing about it is yes, we've recorded video the whole time.
Yeah, I'm not upset, Aaron. I'm just disappointed.
They have a really good version. I Fought the Law.
Ugh, I hate that song. So the Clash has one good song. I stand behind what I said. I don't like the Clash.
Death or Glory?
London Calling.
Death or Glory?
Rock the Casbah.
Death or Glory isn't the Clash.
The difference is, Aaron, is you won't know many of the songs because they weren't an 80s pop band. So that, like,
by don't know, by the Cure, to be, so. The
Clash
to know
Death that. Or Glory is too a Clash song.
It doesn't sound like a Clash song.
Guns of Brixton, White Riot, Rain in Vain. I don't know.
Okay, fine. You're right.
Did they cover Magnificent Seven? Or they? This one I'm actually, not to sound too much like Aaron, but did they do Magnificent Seven or did they just cover that?
It's not the song. It's not like this. It's not that song. Okay. It's actually a song with lyrics. Magnificent Seven.
So, speaking of, we got a new Magnificent Seven trailer at San Diego Comic-Con also. And I can tell you what, as a person who hates remakes, super stoked for this one. Super stoked.
It does look kind of fun.
Yeah. Fantastic. Anyways, Aaron, so.
Can I just add one more thing? Here's what's going to happen. First of all, I'm going to say, one, I'm very, very embarrassed for saying I didn't know they Clash. Second of all, I feel like you guys are going to say, no, you're just an idiot and we all hate you and you're wrong. But I feel like at one point, like 3 weeks from now, I'm going to be like, why did I say I didn't know who the Clash was? It's kind of like when you forget how to spell your own name. That's probably what's going to happen, I bet.
Do you forget how to spell your own name, Aaron?
Sometimes.
Your name has four letters.
Sometimes it's like, or when you're trying to spell the, like you're like,
no, really.
Here's the thing about the not knowing the Clash. It wasn't that you didn't know who the Clash was. It's that I gave you a lot of chances to be like, I'm confused.
I was seriously thinking that it was the Cure. Like, I really do not like the Cure. Like, I was thinking it was the guy that was on South Park with the shitty hair.
Before we go back to this,
which, I hate that fucking band.
Before we go back to this, I'm still confused on the fact that Aaron can't spell her own name or Z at some time.
Okay.
There's a bigger concern here. Aaron might be having a stroke right now, guys. Might be having a stroke. Send somebody over there to take
I don't know how I have an English degree. It's weird.
I'm really concerned about our people's future. I'm really concerned about the future.
Our people. Our people of the Project Nerd.
Our people, so, yes. Anyways. All right. Well, we've ran over time, so we won't hit us with some closing thoughts, because I think we got some very clear closing thoughts that Aaron doesn't know how to spell her own name, that she thinks the Clash is the Cure, and that she's not convinced that they have more than one good song still, even though after... She's kind of convinced that in a couple weeks she'll remember that she likes them. I'm not sure.
He listed plenty of songs, and I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, that's fine.
Okay. So with that, check out all our coverage, as well as many other places' coverage of San Diego Comic-Con. Of course, you can head back and see the interviews are still popping up from our free comic book day, Planet Comic-Con, Oak Comic-Con, most of them coming out. We just dropped Veronica Taylor interview this week, some more to come as well. And all kinds of exciting stuff happening over at Project Nerd Publishing. And never forget Project Cosplay, Denver, February 3rd through 5th. We've got all kinds of stuff going on, all kinds of exciting stuff. And as we grow now, the new Eon Podcast Network, which the Nerdcast is headlining, you're going to see a lot more audio content from this crew right here, as well as many others. So we look forward to bringing that to you in the future. But for now, we'll catch you next week. Same nerd time, same nerd channel.
Bye.
Yeah, this is where Adam usually goes.
Bye, Brian.
There we go. I'll keep it going until then.
I don't care if Monday's blue, Tuesday's gray.